Our reading will be taken from Genesis chapter number 4, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstling of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Amen. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by both hands, which means you got to put your Bible or device down. Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
I am
my brother's keeper. Neighbor,
I am
my brother's keeper. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, I am my brother's keeper. You know, within our world, technology has allowed us to continue to evolve and to do a whole lot of stuff. Some of y'all remember when you had rotary phones, when you had to dial the number, wait for it to come back, dial it again, wait for it to come back, and then finally it would take some time and ring. And then some folk remember how you had in your house the push button phone, thought something good was happening. Folk got excited when we got caller ID. Couldn't tell us nothing. And not just call ID, we also got caught waiting. So if I'm talking to somebody and I see somebody is calling and I look who it is, like, I ain't talking to them now. Then we evolved to where we had phones, mobile phones. You know, when they became available to everybody, we got mobile phones. So now, you know, we ain't had to wait for folk to call us at home. They can catch us on the run. Then we done went from mobile phones, Deacon Jones, to where we now have smartphones. We don't just talk on the phone. We do everything on the phone. Folk can get 20 minutes from home and realize they left their phone, Brother Freeman. They turn it back around and going to get it. When you look at, whenever you go to a public place today, you can always find, if mine's in the back, you can always find somebody looking at their smartphone. And they are oblivious to everything else that's happening around them. Because they are fixed on what is happening on their phones. So in so many ways, they have closed down everything just to pay attention to the phone. This story is about somebody in the Bible who was fixed on killing his brother and was closed in and would not accept counsel from God. When we look here at Cain and Abel, what we see is a tragedy. The first tragedy that occurred. And why did it happen? Is because of the fact the individual that brought their offering to God, and that individual was Cain, when he decided to bring an offering to God, he did not recognize the value of what he was giving God. So he just gave God whatever he had, being an aldrich. And as he just gave it to God, you see, I want you to understand, if you ain't excited or happy or appreciating, able to give back to the one that gave you everything, then there's no reason for you to get mad if God ain't excited about receiving it. Could you imagine what it would be like? I started to call on somebody and said, no, I'm not going to do that. What it would be like if somebody had a gift for you, and Monty, when they came to give you the gift, I got this gift for you. Yeah. If they excited about giving it, how excited would you be in? Y'all gonna work with me this morning? The reality here is this. Cain was upset because he did not take any value or any initiative or thought about what he was bringing God. He just said, I'm going to just bring him anything. And then he wonders why God is not happy with it. But Abel, Reverend Rhodes, when he brought his offering, he thought about what he was doing. He recognized the value that God has blessed him with, and how God has blessed him to have these sheep. And he said, and what I'm going to give to God is the best that I have to offer. And as he brought the best he had to offer, and he's excited because God loves a cheerful giver, we are able to see God responded in the same fashion that was coming at him. Too often, you wonder why nobody smile at you? Who you smile at? You wonder why nobody speaking to you? Who you speak to? If you wonder why folks look at you and say, good morning. Maybe it's because you look at them and you say, good morning. We get mad when folk give us back what we send out. But when we look at the story, and as we paint this picture, what we see happening is as Cain brought his offering to God, and God looked at it like, okay. And then Abel brings his, and God got excited. Cain is mad at God. But Cain know he can't hurt God. So Cain does the next best thing. He wasn't going to hurt himself. He was going to hurt the one who God was pleased with. I am so thankful in God's house, God's people don't get mad at folk in our midst who God is blessing. I thank God that we praise God when we see the Lord blessing those around us, because we understand that I am next in line to be blessed. But is that a reality, or is that just something we just talking about?
Because of the fact that if you come into God and you don't see excitement in your worship, in your giving, and in your serving, if you don't realize that it was the Lord that woke you up this morning and started you on your way, if you don't realize that the only reason why I am breathing right now is because God is blessing me. And when you're able to realize, when I open up my eyes, I can see the light of day. I was able to stand up. I was able to walk to the bathroom. I was able to do what I need to do and get up all by myself. When you're able to appreciate how God has blessed you, then you have no problem allowing the Lord to use you.
And when you come to church and you got old sour puss, as they call it, and you see the Lord blessing other folk around you, and they're always excited and got a smile on their face, you know what they say about them, Deacon Booth? Oh, they just faking. No, they ain't faking. Yes, they got problems, Sister Fee. Yes, they go through some storms. But they said, through it all, I'm still going to say hallelujah anyhow. I'm going to put a fine smile on my face. You might think it's a fake smile. No, it ain't a fake smile. I'm fighting to put this smile on. But I know that God is going to see me through. So I ain't going to wait to receive the blessing. I'm going to praise him before I even get it. I want you to see something. When Cain, Mother Austin, saw how God responded to Abel's offering, he became fixed on his brother. And when he fixed his eyes on his brother, he now became closed to everything else. And the beauty of our God, when God sees us, Carolyn, I want you to know God is going to come and see about us. God is going to come see about you while things are going good. God's coming to see about you before you mess up and fall on your face. What God was doing was, when he knew where Cain was and that Cain was fixed on destruction, closed to any other options, God goes and talks to him. And God says to him, bro, what's wrong with you? Don't you know if you do right, it's going to be accepted? But if you don't do right, sin is lurking, waiting for the opportunity to pounce upon you. Because sin wants to jump on you and I. But the one thing he says, but you can master it. It's not, some folks say, how can I master sin? By putting my sin that I'm about to do into the hands of the master. When I learn that whatever I'm going through, when I learn how to turn it over to the Lord, I know no matter what the sin is, that sin is not bigger than my God. And when I learn to understand that, because I don't care who you are, how holy you are, how many scriptures you can quote, no matter how well you speak in tongues, hallelujah, sin is lurking. And in the midst of the sin lurking, the way that you master it is do right, because it's the right thing to do. Because if you don't do right, then you're allowing sin to grab a hold of you. Have you ever had a situation in your life, now that the Lord has healed and delivered you and set you free, now that you are able to understand that I am saved and I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I know I'm not all that I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. And now that you are walking by faith and not by sight, there was a time when folk would pluck your nerve, and when they plucked your nerve, you would turn around and slap the out of them.
But now what you're saying is, Lord, I ain't trying to go backwards. I need to come forward. So Lord, help me do right when I don't feel like doing right. I know I can't handle it, but I know you can handle it. So Lord, I'm handing it over to you.
Don't feel bad because you sometimes failed that test. You ain't by yourself. Oh, hallelujah. But there's a thing that I want us to understand. You see, God gave Cain an opportunity to stop being fixed on wanting to do destruction. God was offering him an opportunity to stop closing yourself off. Because right now, since you're so fixed on destruction, you've closed yourself off to everything else. God was saying to him, I want you to make the change. I want you to do right, even if you can't see how to do right. But trust me in the midst of it. And as you trust me, I'm going to show you, you can do right. But after God had talked with Cain, Brother Leeper, since he was so fixed on destruction, close to counsel, he says to his brother, come on, man, let's go out to the field. Cain is like, cool, let's go on out to the field. Because of the fact that this is my brother, I see the value of our relationship because he is my brother. And if he wants me to go somewhere with me, Sister Davis, he said, let me go. I don't have a problem with going with my brother. I don't think my brother's going to hurt me. I don't think he's going to do anything that's going to harm me because my brother sees the value of our relationship. We got the same mama and the same daddy. And I know, and it's okay. So wherever my brother wants me to go, I'm going with him. You know, and as they're walking and talking and Cain is walking but with Abel, and but Abel continues to walk at the same pace, but Cain slows his pace down. Comes up behind his brother. His brother's wondering what he got the stick for. He figured that maybe that's just a walking stick. Now you ain't gonna see this in the Bible. I'm just using a little illustration. Are you working with me? And as his brother gets a little further ahead of him, he is just so fixed and all he can see is red. So he grabs that stick with both hands, pulls it back and hits his brother and knocks him down, and then proceeds to beat him until he's no longer breathing. When we are fixed on the wrong, closed to any counseling, we will find ourselves begin to spiral down because sin is sucking us in. How many folk do we got in church right now whose eyes are fixed on somebody else? Mad because they ain't say good morning to you. Mad because they brought in some cake but didn't give you a slice. Mad! Because they, oh Lord, Rem Rose said, yeah, y'all mad because they sitting in y'all seat. See, I put that one on Rem Rose. See that, right? I'm just messing. There are some folk who are mad because they can't get to their seat. When I get here at 9:25 on the Unified Service, it ain't, my seat is always open. But on this particular Sunday, somebody is in your seat and you're fixed. And when you become fixed on that stuff, you become closed to everything else. Closed to even the preaching that's taking place. Closed to the singing that has been done. Closed to the prayers that have been prayed. Closed to the testimonies that have been given. Closed to what God is doing all around you because you're fixed on doing what you want to do and don't want to hear nothing else from anybody else. And here we see in this situation And y'all gotta help me. After God had this council with Cain, and then Cain took Abel to the field and he killed Phil. If God is who he is and he's a God of love, why didn't he just strike Cain down before he could strike Abel down? Anita, is called free will. It's hard, but it's what it is. You see, God will never force himself upon us, but God will give us the opportunity to make a change. God will always come and talk to us before we go and do something stupid. But when we are closed off and fixed on what we want to do, it don't matter what God say, because I ain't listening. Just like, you know how you know when you leave here today, you know you ain't supposed to have it, but you're going to go over to the IHOP. You're going to order that big breakfast. You're going to get those 3 pancakes. You're going to get that toast, and you're going to get that omelet. You're going to get those extra pieces of bacon. You're going to get that 2 cups of coffee at least, and you know that your pressure going to go up, your sugar going to go up, but you just don't care because you got your mind fixed on the breakfast that you want this morning and leading into this afternoon. And it don't matter what anybody say to you while you there. Look, I'll just go home and take a little extra insulin, but I am definitely going to go out here and eat what I'm going to eat. See, now you got your eyes fixed on me, and like saying, you need to get up out my business. I ain't know where you was planning on going when you left here. But all I'm saying is that it's a similar situation. When we become so fixed on what we want to do, we become closed to what everybody else around us wants us to do. But God was giving Cain the opportunity because he wanted Cain to realize you are about to do something that's going to cause you to swirl and go in the wrong direction. And God wants us to know we have free will, because look around us within our city. Look at the number of people that are shot and killed from 1 week to the next. And you know, Brother Aaron, I know you reported every time, and I saw you report a murder on the news last night. You see, my brothers and my sisters, because we have free will, we have closed ourselves off to what God is saying to us. We've become fixed on doing things that are going to hurt our brothers and sisters. But as the people of God in God's house, we're making a decision today to say that I am my. Now, when we say brothers, you know we're including sisters in that, right? I'm not being chauvinistic. I'm just utilizing the scripture as this, but it's including brothers and sisters. You see, and when God came to see him, God says to Cain, he said, Cain, where's your brother? Ain't that what he said? I know I'm paraphrasing, but are you working with me? The Lord said to Cain, where your brother? And then this dude gonna try to puff up. Come on, let's come on. Now think about it. He gonna try to puff up. I don't know. Ain't that what it say in scripture? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Let me help you understand something. You might can puff up on me. I might can puff up on you. Don't get it twisted and think you can puff up on God. Oh, come on, work with me now. I want you to understand that the Lord is the one who gave us breath and gave us life. The Lord is the one who allows us to go from 1 second to the next. The Lord is the one that allows us to go from 1 day to the next, week to the next, month to the next, year to the next. And you're going to think you're going to puff up and say to God, like, what? That's pretty much what he's trying to do, y'all. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? See, when you are fixed on what you were doing, and even what you've done, the dirty deed, you're still closed off to counsel and listening, to the point that you have become selfish Because it's all about what you want to get, your own self-gratification. What is in it for me? And what's in it for me is that I got to get rid of you, because God is liking you more than God is liking me. But I want you to understand today, my brothers and sisters, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, that's a lie straight from hell. I want you to know that it's all level ground when the Lord created us. And even when Jesus came to the cross, it's all level ground by the cross. I want you to know that the Lord don't love folk more than he love other folk. He loves everybody. All God wants us to do is to see the value in who he is in our lives. And why some folk are progressing and why other folk are stagnant is because those who are progressing recognize the value of their relationship with God. They recognize the value in worship. They recognize the value in serving. They recognize the value in giving. But those who are stagnant, look at those three things and say, what? Because they are closed off and fixed on what they want to do. And even once they've done what they've, the dirty deed, they want to bring justification in why they did what they did. It was all over an offering that you yourself didn't want to bring the best that you had. And then God says, he says, the ground is crying out with your brother's blood. So in all actuality, the blood of Abel is crying out to God and saying, God, give me vengeance for what he's done to me. I haven't done a thing to him, but look at what he has done to me. You see, I want you to understand something. You might think you got away with something, but truth be told, no, you didn't. You might have got away with it with you against me and against you and against anybody else, but don't you know that it is not hidden from God? God knows what you have done. God knows where you have stumbled. God knows where you have fallen. And since God already knows it, when the Lord says, is it time for you to come and ask for my forgiveness? And you look at God and go, what? Because you fixed on what you want to do and closed yourself off to any kind of counseling. And this is what's happened to Cain, my brothers and sisters. He has closed off to any counseling because he's fixed on what he wanted to do, has done, and has now justified his actions. You see, but my brothers and sisters, we ain't gonna be like that. Yeah, we've been fixed on getting back at folks. We've been fixed on humiliating. We've been fixed on getting them because they got us. But now that we know better, we're going to make it our business to what? Because I realize and recognize that I am still here because of God's grace and mercy. You see, the Lord could have took me out a long time ago. When I look back over my life, and I look at some stuff that I had done. If it had not been for God's grace and mercy, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And now that we are where we are, we're going to make it our business to say, I am my brother's keeper. Because God sees value in them like God sees value in me. Do I got anybody in God's house today who is ready to say, I am my brother's keeper? Because I want you to know, you didn't get this far all by yourself. Somebody had to keep you for a while. Somebody had been praying for you for a while. Somebody had to bring you to church for a while. And now that you have gotten and spread your own wings, don't think that you are a self-made person. Somebody was your keeper. And I want you to know, if it had not been for Jesus, none of us would have been kept. And since the Lord has kept us, do I got any folk who are excited about who Jesus is? Excited about what he's done for you? Excited for how he turned you around? Excited for how he delivered you? Excited for how he healed you. Excited for how he provides for you. Excited for how he sustains you. Excited for how he maintains you. Somebody ought to give God some praise, because I recognize just how good my God is. Just how good he has been.
just how good he will continue to be, because God is my keeper. And now I have to be my brother's. So I want you right now to turn to 3-4, give him a high five and say, I'm your brother and I'm going to keep you. Well, you know you can replace the brother with a sister if you're the sister. I'm your brother, I'm your keeper. I'm your brother, I'm your keeper. I'm your brother, I'm your keeper. Are you working with me? You see, my brothers and sisters, God's got a lot he's doing here at Broad Rock Baptist Church. He's moving us and he's guiding us. He's taking us to places we've never been before. But that's all good, because you know why? We know who is the one who is piloting our ship. We know who is the captain. We know who is guiding us. And his name is Jesus. And when we allow the love to be who he is, and that's the head of our lives, and we walk by faith and not by sight, tell me, Mother Austin, what is it that we can't do? Nothing. We can do it all, because we serve a God who is able to make a way out of no way. We serve a God who took us from a nothing and made something out of us. We serve a God who has taken us to places we thought we would never go. I tell you, when you think about all that the Lord has done for you, I don't know how you can sit there and act like it ain't a big deal. I want you to know it is a big deal, because we serve a God who is awesome, who is great, who is loving, who has been there for us when we didn't even know he was there. Somebody ought to put their head back and say, thank you. I am my brother's keeper. So since I know I'm my brother's keeper, you know what that means? I got to see the value in who you are in God. And God said that you are very good. And since you are very good, God also lets me know that I am. So that means that I am praying for you and encouraging you as you're praying for me and encouraging me, because we're all in this what? There are no big I's and little U's. It's just a whole bunch of us. And if we move together as a us, do you realize how good God is going to be to us? When we allow ourselves to move forward in the unity of the God whom we serve and move forward as that body in Christ, I want you to know that we will be a strong, healthy body for Christ, because when we trust him and abide by his word, don't you know no weapon formed against us shall prosper? No negativity that comes and tries to knock us down, it will get pushed out of our way. When we put our trust in the Lord, I want you to know there's nothing God can do. I want you to know eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what the Lord has in store for them that love him. You see, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You see, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. When I understand that I have been wondrously and marvelously made, I can't help but give God praise. When I look at where I was and where I am right now, it's nobody but God who's brought us this far. There have been folk that gave up on us a long time ago, but God has never given up on us. I am my brother's. You see, as we move forward, church, God is equipping us and empowering us. And as he's doing that, why? Because he wants us to see the value. So that when we break the ground on that building, and that building begins to go up, I don't want to see one person walking around and say, yeah, we got it like that. I expect everybody to just say, oh, we give God the glory. Because it didn't have to be that way. When we can see our value, we can see the value in others. Because the only way we're going to progress and grow is that we have to be our brother's keeper. Because we all going to have a time when we need somebody just to lean on. And when we lean on them,
We don't have to be concerned with whether or not they're going to put your business out in the street. But what they're going to do is put your business into the hands of the one who can fix it. That's what Christianity is all about. Because we love God. Because God first loved us. And since God loved us, God is letting us know that we have value. And since we have value, I am my brother's keeper.